Art is the first topic of conversation on The Exchange today. Art that is big and bold and people are tempted to hit with sticks, which is an unusual reaction to most art. But the work of Justin Favela, Southern Oregon University visiting artist and teacher, features a lot of piñatas and things that look like piñatas, the crepe paper covered objects that kids hit with sticks so the candy inside will come flying out. We'll put the candy question aside for a moment and talk to the artist about his creation, some of them full-sized cars and things like that. Justin Favela, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So how did you end up at Southern Oregon University? What produced the visiting artist and teacher?
Well, thanks to Scott, the director at the Schneider Museum of Art. I think my dear friend Maria de Los Angeles was here earlier this year.
We talked to her, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she recommended me. And I think Scott had been looking at my work for a long time. And so I ended up here in beautiful Ashland, Oregon.
Tell us about the work. You make essentially piñatas, and I was trying not to minimize the work by saying so, but then I noticed you said it yourself. So,
a lot of my work is made with the same materials that piñatas are made of. So when I first started making work, I was finding a symbol to kind of relate to my identity as a Latinx American, right? So the piñata was that perfect symbol. And then so I was making a lot of sculpture in the beginning, literally piñatas. And then that kind of evolved to doing collages or mosaics with tissue paper, cardboard, paper mache, which are all the same materials in a piñata. And now I do full-size installations where I fill the room with paper.
I have noticed some of those. I mean, murals we're talking about of Mexican landscapes and things like that are just gigantic. I mean, they must take a fair amount of time to execute, but then the planning part too. I mean, I can't imagine you just start sticking things on the wall, but how does the process work?
Well, for the one at the Schneider Museum of Art, what we do is we kind of design what we're going to put on the wall, and then I'm actually really bad at drawing, so I have the help of a projector, and then I do kind of a color-by-number process, and then once that is on the wall, kind of the outline, and I have the key and everything, then we layer the paper on from the bottom all the way to the top.
All right, so how did somebody who's not good at drawing end up being a professional artist?
I got advice from an art history professor, Patricia Bali at UNLV, and she said, you know what? She said, there's something special about you, but you really need to apply yourself. And she said, my advice to you is just fake it until you make it. And you know what? It works, everyone. I'm here on JPR in Ashland, Oregon.
Faking it till he makes it. So how did you settle upon the media that you ended up working in, primarily sticking with the piñata-like stuff now?
I just like the response of people's responses when they walk into the room and they see such a colorful installation. It kind of challenges also the art world because the work is made out of craft material and just such non-archival material. It kind of bothers people, and so I think I've been getting a lot of attention because of that kind of. A lot of the messaging behind the material is actually that, like, you know, hey, life is temporary, let's celebrate now, right? Or this idea of, like, pushing the boundaries between fine art, craft, folk art, like, who gets to decide those hierarchies, right? Uh-huh. And so a lot of my work is a comment on that.
You get to tweak a few noses along the way and turn the idea of, like, well, this is art and this is not upside down.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we assume that your piñatas don't have candy in them?
They do not have candy in them. Yeah.
All right. So
just like a traditional piñata maker, you know, you buy them from me, you go fill them up, you know, go down to the Buy Mart.
Okay.
Get you some candy.
Fair enough. All right. So just in case anybody was thinking of approaching your stuff with a baseball bat or something, just don't go there. All right. But you know, you touched on this a bit. A piñata can certainly be seen as a symbol of Latinx culture, but also as a symbol of how Anglos view Latinx culture. So you're kind of twisting some threads together on purpose there, aren't you?
Yeah, I like to take symbols, objects, you know, rituals that are traditionally Latin American and have been appropriated by white and Anglo culture, right? So the piñata is definitely one of those things. Everybody has piñatas. You can go to your local supermarket no matter where you are in America, and buy a piñata. So it's become a symbol of the United States in a way. And so I like the idea of, you know, taking that back, right? Taking that back and, you know, making it my own. So, and a lot of people now will see a piñata at Target or, you know, at some store for a crazy amount of money, and they'll send me a picture of it. And the first thing they think about is my art instead of thinking of Party City, uh-huh. You know? Which, in a way, I am really taking the piñata back, uh-huh. Which is pretty cool. I didn't think it would actually happen.
Justin Favela is owning the piñata artistically. He is a visiting artist and teacher at Southern Oregon University this quarter, and he has a show debuting at the Schneider Museum of Art with an opening to the general public tomorrow evening at 5, working until midnight last night, he told us already. Join the conversation. Got questions, comments for Justin? Join us by phone at 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The works are huge. We mentioned murals that take up entire walls. You have cars the size of cars. I mean, what you do, this is just off the shelf material for that anybody would make a piñata out of? Tissue paper and cardboard and all that stuff?
Oh my God. Well, the cars, I mean, the cars came from admiring lowrider culture. And also, I think another misunderstood symbol of Latinidad, of Latinx culture, that even I, because of media, I always thought of lowrider culture as gangster culture, cholo culture, mm-hmm. because of, you know, how it's portrayed in the movies. And the more I learned about lowriders, the more I realized, like, what an art form that is, like, what a beautiful tradition that Chicanos have in the on the West Coast, you know? And so transforming a 1964 Chevy Impala lowrider into a life-size version, you know, piñata version, it was something that I was really excited about, because I'm taking this very masculine art form, because it's, you know, it's mostly men in the lowrider culture, even though a lot of the women are the ones doing all the work and they never get credit, you know, uh-huh. America. And so, but feminizing it, right? Making with craft material and celebrating like the women behind it, I thought was special.
All right. So, and I apologize to anybody who got offended when I called it a Cadillac. Okay, we'll go with the Chevy. It is an Impala.
No, there's a lot of Cadillac lowriders too, so okay, don't worry.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Tell us about your own background, because you come to us from you grew up in Las Vegas of a Guatemalan Mexican background.
Yeah, my mom is Guatemalan, my father's Mexican, Northern Mexican. So they went to Vegas in I think the 1980s, because Vegas had its like second big boom in the 80s, early 90s. And so they needed a lot of people to work. So my father was a dealer, and my mom's a housekeeper.
Dealer at a casino, you mean?
And yeah, in a casino. Okay. Yeah, not, yeah, exactly. Well, probably both.
Thanks. So has it been interesting to try to find your own cultural niche in society? I mean, because you got Las Vegas, which is like so American and yet not in some ways, and you got the Guatemalan and the Mexican influences too.
Yeah. I think that as a Latino in the United States, especially in the Southwest, the default is Mexican. Mm-hmm. So lately, my mission, my struggle, I don't know what to call it, has been to highlight my Guatemalan identity, because a lot of people don't even know where Guatemala is, which is so sad, but, you know, that's just the facts. And it's just a lot of Central American erasure that happens in media. And so I'm always shouting out my Guatemalan heritage. I actually made the show that's at the Schneider Museum of Art, Together Juntos, is a mural of traditional holiday food. And so I chose a Guatemalan dish to draw on the mural, to paint on the mural. So
and what is the dish?
It is Guatemalan enchiladas, mm-hmm. which are actually like we think of as tostadas, which is, you know, the crunchy fried tortilla. You got black bean paste, tomato sauce. Oh my God, I'm getting hungry. cabbage slaw with beets. Then you got a few rings of white onion, a slice of hard-boiled egg, and then like cheese, like powdered like Parmesan cheese mm-hmm. on top of that, and then some cilantro.
That does sound quite delicious.
It's so good.
and how big a work did you make out of this dish?
Oh, this painting is about, it's all made with tissue paper, by the way. I'm saying painting because that's what it looks like, but it's all tissue paper directly glued onto the wall. And it's about, it's about 6 feet by 6 feet. That's how big it is. So it's, everything is really huge in the gallery.
Glued onto the wall. So you, your stuff can't survive this, this session at the Schneider?
Well, we line the walls with cardboard.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that they wouldn't have to sand it all off. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Justin Favell is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a visiting artist and teacher at Southern Oregon University this quarter. His show, Together Juntos, has a grand opening tomorrow evening at 5 to the general public at the Schneider Museum of Art on the corner of the Southern Oregon University campus in Ashland. Questions, comments, welcome now at the Exchange at 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Grumpy John at Grants Pass wants to know what you do with a room full of paper when you decide the installation has been up long enough. Just curious, he says.
Well, I just take a match. No, I'm just kidding. Well, that's a great question. A lot of institutions do different things after my art installation. So a lot of it is recycled. A lot of it is kept in the collection sometimes if they have enough room. But most of these installations are so huge that it takes a lot of people to help make it. So like last night, for example, every Tuesday we do a community day where people can come help from 4 to 8 p.m. Through December. And so there was about 25 people helping last night. It was pretty magical. And so I always give first dibs to the volunteers. They could actually take some of the installation. So it just depends. And I don't know what we're going to do here, but I would really love for the students and the volunteers to get first dibs on the work.
So it sounds like you've been working feverishly to get this up, but then you mentioned, so every Tuesday, 4 to 8, so you're constantly changing your artwork?
Yeah, so this installation is special because it's the first time that people are going to really get to see this evolve as time goes on. So when you go to the opening on Thursday, you're going to see the initial part of the installation, and it'll just keep growing, and things will keep changing. So every week that you come help or every week that you come visit the museum, you're going to see something new, and eventually I think you're going to – it's also going to be interactive. You're actually going to be able to make part of the mural as time goes on, which is really cool. So, It's going to be an evolving installation, and I'm collaborating with the students on what that actually is going to mean.
So come early, come often, it sounds like, to see the work of Justin Favella, Together Juntos. Grab your headphones. We have a phone call for you I want to put on the air in just a moment here, and I'll take it right now. It's Tara in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. You there? Not there. Okay, Tara didn't want to go on the air, I guess. Okay, she just wants to thank you for celebrating yourself and your culture and wants to know if you actually use recycled material.
You know what? That's basically why I started making piñatas, was because I was a broke college student, right? Starving artist, as they say, living the dream. And what can I afford? Cardboard and tissue paper, you know? So a lot of my original artwork was done just with recycled material. And I actually try to use as much recycled material now as I can.
I don't know if we touched fully on Together Juntos and how this is a tribute to your grandmother. Can you tell us about that part?
Yeah, my Mexican grandma, shout out to Isabel Favela. She is probably one of my favorite artists. She's so crafty. And whenever we get together around the holidays, she likes to translate for my younger cousins, who she makes fun of because they can't speak Spanish anymore, the older cousins can. So she always says, oh, I love it when we're all together juntos, right? So she uses both words. So it's kind of an honor of her, for sure.
So I should point out, too, that you are more than just a visual artist. You have some performance art, too. And in fact, I want to ask about that. Things like Family Fiesta and Taco Takeover and the Mini Market.
Oh, yeah. So I'll start with the Mini Market. So I did this installation in Las Vegas at my uncle's Mini Mart, where I wanted to get artwork out of the gallery and into the public. So I set up all this artwork in just this little convenience store in North Las Vegas, and got people to come into this convenience store and kind of search for the art between the aisles, which was really fun to see a bunch of white people really scared to be in the hood in Las Vegas.
Hood, yeah.
And then let's see. Then the next what and Taco Takeover is a project that I started in April of 2014, where any time that I go to a restaurant and there's a taco on the menu as a noun, I will order it. I will videotape myself eating it, and I will post it on the internet. This is another way that I'm taking a symbol of Latinidad back. I'm going to eat every taco in America because it's from my culture, okay? And then, see, these are all very attainable goals, uh-huh. right? And then Family Fiesta is this performance that I do with my family. Usually we do it at big museums or some sort of big art institution, and we have a party, however we want. It always involves food, music, and fun, so games, piñatas. We just kind of take over a space. And that performance is about cultural or like institutional inclusion, because a lot of museums claim to be for the people, about the people, but just because you put your labels in Spanish doesn't mean this museum is for Latinos. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, is this a place that we actually want to come to institutionally, right? So it's really it's a really fun performance, because some museums let us go wild. We did one on the roof of the Nevada Museum of Art. We've done one on the lawn of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Arkansas. It's really fun.
But you're making essentially an outdoor party. You're pushing stuff outside the walls of the museum in a couple of different senses.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I want to point out, too, before we have to go, that you are also a podcaster.
And, yes.
So if people hear about Favi Fav, that's you.
That's me, yes.
Is that an homage to a Flava Flav?
Yeah, how did you? Actually, totally is. It totally is. So I used to be, I'm a reality TV show junkie, mm-hmm. and one of my favorite TV shows back in the day was Flavor of Love. Uh-huh. And then Flavor Flav also lives in Las Vegas. And so I would run into him. I only saw him twice. I'm okay. like acting like he was my neighbor.
Right,
I ran into him like twice at the grocery store, okay? And I just loved him so much. So Favi Fav, Flava Flav. Uh-huh. And so it stuck since then.
All right. So yeah. You and Babelito, your co-host, Dr. Emmanuel Ortega Rodriguez, what do you talk about?
Well, Latinos Who Lunch is the podcast that I do with Babelito. And it's about whatever we want. It's a show where we just express our views. We try to center Latinx culture. But he's an art historian. So a lot of the talk is about art. A lot of our listeners just like to hear us catch up and you know, kind of just crack jokes. So we do that once in a while, too. And so it's kind of this, like, loose podcast, but sometimes it gets super academic and super critical, which is also really fun and interesting.
That's Latinos Who Lunch. The show at the Schneider Museum of Art is called Together Juntos. It features a lot of tissue paper and just a lot of, you'll be, yeah, just go take a look. It's at the Schneider Museum, opening tomorrow evening at 5. Justin Favela, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.